talk to weak spirit. She comes in my dreams.
What is the path to awakening supposed to look like, to feel like? How do you know if you are on it? We ask these very sacred and sometimes vulnerable questions to many different women from all walks of life. A conversation that needs to be shared and heard. I'm Jo Hendy.
I'm Amanda Parker.
And welcome to the Girl Awakening Podcast. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning.
It's Friday.
Yes, we're having the best week of the month.
We're getting prepared for Christmas. So we've done
several
this week, and it's been the best week because for me personally, it's kept me in check for the whole week. Just having these amazing women on that are sharing their journey, and it's like I'm having all these little mini activations. So it's been really, really beautiful.
Yeah, really in line with the 11th month.
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know, there's been always a lot goes on at the end of the year. But, you know, we're all really very blessed just to kind of be sharing all these beautiful people from around the world.
As we are today.
Yeah. And we've got a lovely woman in with us today. We're going to introduce, we're not going to muck around, we're going to get straight in. Because we have Jo Najeski. Is an international psychic medium from Melbourne, Australia. She is a spiritual seer devoted to guiding, empowering, and uplifting souls to align with their highest path. Love that.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jo is equally grounded and practical, spiritual and sensual.
Oh.
Yes. Balance. That's a big thing as well. That. Yeah. A mother, equine enthusiast, and nature lover, revered for her likeness to Celtic goddess, Epona, yeah, feeling that, seeing that. Brushes with the ethereal realm were not uncommon throughout Jo's early years. However, it was when her intuition became heightened during the pregnancies of her children that her fascination with the spirit world ignited.
Oh, wow. I resonate with that big time.
Yeah, just flush.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And I love you know, there's a theme this week around kids, mums, and young mums as well that have children that are getting more and more activated in this space to step up.
Mm.
So it's so beautiful that that's kind of where your, I suppose, awakening began, Jo. Would that be correct in saying?
Let's find out.
Yeah, totally. So mother's intuition is so incredibly powerful, and that I feel that really gets activated in pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And that's perhaps why we feel a little vacant. We forget things. We have so much else going on because this awareness that we have is building and building and building throughout the pregnancy, and really trying, like, that connection with the baby is building as well. And it's so easy to give that power away when we have that ourselves. It's so easy to give it away to doctors and forever be checking up on our baby and all these things, which, you know, sometimes they're obviously necessary, but we give so much of that power away that we forget that that is our tool. That is, as a mother, we are given that to really connect with our baby and be the best mother possible, and that really opens, you know, the portal as well.
That's so true.
Yeah,
that's so true.
Yeah, so beautifully said. Like, it's most powerful time to anchor into your body and be out of your body and be around this little being that's joining you. Mm-hmm. And some often totally. It's cancelled out, that beautiful connection. Yeah.
Mm, yeah, and particularly with, look, this might not be where we thought the podcast was going to go today, but particularly with birth, the environment we're put in completely pulls us out of our power. And look, if you had told me first pregnancy, Jo, so I'm in my fourth pregnancy now, you had told her or tried to empower her to have her baby at home and be in her power and, you know, completely have an intuitive pregnancy, she wouldn't have been available to listen. She would have been like, no, I'm going to the best doctor, I'm paying the best money, and I'm making sure that this baby is absolutely 100% safe and fine and all of those things. She wouldn't have been available to hear it, that version of me. And now in my fourth pregnancy, My perspective has completely changed. So to the point where this pregnancy is completely intuitive, I've completely connected in with this baby. I'm listening to my body as opposed to giving that power away to somebody else to tell me whether my baby's okay or not. And I guess that also I had a bit of a just an awareness shift having grown up on a dairy farm. I was like, I saw birth like every day, or you know, when it was in season.
Easily,
and
yeah.
it was very rare that yeah and it was very rare that I had to see my dad intervene with, you know, the cows calving or mum assisting the mare's foal and things like that. Yes, things did go wrong every now and again, but with how much I witnessed and how much did go wrong, it was minor. So like I said, I'm not sure if that's where we were going today,
it's
but
perfect. I'm completely hearing what you're saying, and it's almost like the thing that I'm feeling too as you say that is the child's coming through to wake us up.
Yes.
And, you know, there's an opportunity. I think there's something like a portal opens in the moment of either conception or throughout the gestation where the baby's giving you everything and an opportunity to open. And whether we take that opportunity or not, it's in our hands. And I think, you know, like you said, you have the choice. Like for me too, all my children have grown up now, but I had mine through, you know, the best hospital and the best doctor and all of that. And I wish, you know, there's a part of me that wishes I could turn back time and say, God, I wish I honoured the child while it was there, giving me the space to say, hey, mum, just surrender. Let me guide you. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm wise. Although I'm small, I'm wise, and I can, you know, I can support
can
you
together.
Through this. We can work together through this. It's so beautiful what you're saying.
And it's all part of the journey, right? There's no right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's so true. There's no right or wrong. And I think, you know, we've learned
it's going with what you feel and, you know, and
Yeah. Which, as you say, those feelings are so heightened in this time, and often, you know, they're discounted as being, oh, you're too emotional, you know, you need to calm down, maybe you should you know, get some help, or you know, it's those emotions, we don't have a very strong respect for emotions. And the beauty of what they bring. And the ability to process experiences and deepen experiences through connecting in with the emotions as they come through.
Yeah, and I think that goes right back as well to even just honoring our cycle and taking that downtime, you know, every month to reconnect with ourselves and take a break. But the noise of the world, it's just go, go, go. And it's just like, ladies, you've just got to keep up. Instead of honoring yourself and what your body's going through, we're just going to give it a name, and you can medicate yourself for it if you want to. You can take some extra, you know, supplements and to calm yourself down, instead of honoring that your body's actually going through something, or you know, it is a cycle and it should be honored and respected. And that just doesn't exist. It's expecting women to be the same as men in this world, and it's not the same.
No.
And what we love through this podcast is, and we're laying a beautiful foundation where we are going to go with what's next, but what we love is that, you know, there are so many people like yourself in the community who are sharing this message and allowing other people to recognize, tap in, and feel that inner connection and feel strong enough to go, yeah, this, I'm going to honour me, I'm going to listen to me, and come back to their truth.
Which we will jump straight into.
Yes.
Because we're going to get to the question, Jo. how did your awakening begin, Jo? And now just for the listeners too, I just want to let you know that there is a bit of a delay in the sound, the audio. So we're going to kind of just ask the question, then hand it over to Jo, and we're just going to let her
share.
So my awakening would have been, the best part of it was with my mother-in-law passing away. So she was diagnosed with leukemia and passed away a very quick 6 months after that. And I, when she was diagnosed, I was in my first pregnancy. So very logic driven. Jo was in control of her life then, and trying to control every aspect of the pregnancy within like the muggle world, if I can say it that way. And with my mother-in-law passing, I obviously had time. We knew she was going to pass. I had time to discuss with her what happens after we pass, and, you know, how she would get a sign across to me to let me know that she was okay. She was very much, I grew up Catholic, so going to psychic mediums and or clairvoyance, anything like that, was taboo, foreign, the devil, so to speak. And she was the opposite. She went to clairvoyance. She watched shows like Medium, and she would share her experiences with clairvoyance with me, although I would be like, oh, I could never go myself, you know, that fear from childhood about, you know, you'll go to hell, yeah, if you go see one of these people, was very instilled in my psyche. So when she passed, she came through with a really strong message just days after she passed by, how do I explain, the house we were living in at the time had a doorbell, and every time, like every now and again, it would go off, but it would go off one ring short than usual. And I was like, I was always like, oh, that's bizarre. But that always happened while she was here anyway, so I just never thought anything of it. And then it was the day that the maternal healthcare nurse had to come to the house, and they do like the first check on the baby and all that kind of thing, and make sure that the house and the environment's safe. And it was about 15 minutes before they were meant to arrive. My husband had taken the dog for a walk, and the doorbell went off, but this time it was two rings short, which had never happened. Like, I was like, that is so bizarre. And I went to the door, and I just opened the door, and I had this feeling that she came into the house. It was just this feeling that an energy came through the door, and I was like, whoa, okay. Anyway, so 15 minutes, so no one was there. 15 minutes later, the maternal health nurse comes, checks up on the baby, leaves. My husband comes home from his walk, and I didn't mention it to him until, like, I said to him, did you see a feather on your walk? And I know feathers, like, the universal symbol for loved ones in spirit, right? But because when I'd spoken to her in a hospital, she goes, I'm not sure what I'll be. I might be a feather, might be a bird that poos on your car. I'm not sure what I'll be, but well, she goes, I'll make sure you know. And he said, nah, didn't see a feather. So I didn't say anything. But then 15 minutes later, he was obviously thinking it over. He goes, actually, Buddy, our dog, stopped for a feather, and he sniffed it. And I was like, huh, so something drew the dog's attention to this particular feather. And then I told him about what happened with the doorbell, because that all happened at the same time. And I was so comforted by that. And another thing that I felt when she passed, and I always have trouble saying this, even now it feels uncomfortable for me to say, is that I never felt her presence leave. I knew she was gone. I knew she'd passed, but she still felt very much around us. And so for a family, I'm around a family that's grieving. How do you say to them, I don't feel like she's gone?
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes, yeah. My own mother, she was just recently passed after an illness. And I know exactly what you mean. Like, she's gone, but I just feel her every day. Like, and yeah, it's quite surreal, because she's physically not here, but she's so here. It's quite a interesting connection, feeling. Mm.
Yeah, I'm sorry that you lost her, but I love that you are still very much feeling her around you. That's really, it's a really beautiful feeling.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So it's difficult to convey to people who are missing that physical presence, though. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've just got no belief that there's anything after this life, which I think some of that's changed since. My husband's perspective has certainly changed with the work that I do. And I guess And leading from that, I went looking for answers. I was like, there's got to be more. And it was almost like I'd gotten to the point where I thought this mediumship or connecting with the spirit world, there's got to be something to it. There can't be that many people going around like as frauds. There's got to be something to it. And so that led me to doing a 5D mediumship course with Sean Collins. And my intention behind doing that course, and this was in the midst of lockdown as well. So lockdown in Victoria during COVID, we're all stuck in our houses. So it was quite easy to be grounded in my environment because I was taken away from the noise of the work environment and the roads and the busyness of life. And I did this course just wanting to find out how people do it. I never thought that I'd actually be able to do it myself. I didn't think it was available to everyone. But in fact, it is. And I was able to untap it and or reconnect with it. And I came out of that course offering readings to people. Obviously, there's a huge ethical side of what I do. And I like to think and I like to offer my services from a very ethical perspective to inspire and empower people and to bring comfort and healing. I don't do my work with any intention to scare or frighten or leaving. My intention is always to leave people better than what I found them.
Beautiful.
So, and all that came from finding the right resources to train me in that space as well, because I am aware of some courses that perhaps don't have the sitter's best interests at heart. But yeah, I was able to find one straight off the bat that was very ethical and grounded and really honored how everyone connects in differently, I guess you could say.
Yeah, that's interesting. So special. And you're pregnant at this time as well, is that right? Are you still pregnant?
Or yeah.
Yeah.
31 weeks pregnant.
Oh, amazing. Wow. I love it. Yes.
So you're fully open and like, you know, whoo.
Yeah, big time. So yeah. A lot of things have been going on. My connections are a lot easier and stronger.
Yeah.
The last 2 weeks, I would say I've been a lot more tired and I'm feeling the drain. So I'm going to be winding up very soon to just go very much inward and focus on the delivery of Bub. But I'm going to go back just a step. You mentioned the power of the 11th month just a minute ago. And I'm not sure whether it's got something to do with this pregnancy or what it was, but we have been trying to sell our house for since the start of the year. So what's that, about 11 months. And we put our caravan on the market as well. So we're pretty much selling up and we're gonna move up to where you guys are in Queensland.
Oh, nice.
And on the 11th of... get a bit more sunshine.
Yeah.
So on the 11th of the 11th, not only did our house sell, our caravan sold, I launched my online business or the online portal of my business, which is just, it's ritual tools for people. And that all happened on the 11th of the 11th. And it was just insane. So I'm not sure whether it's just that the energy of 11/11 or whether the pregnancy's got something to do with that, but that I just can't explain it. I wasn't completely sold on the whole portal thing, but I'm borderline believer now.
Well, I think you've got three really great examples of like, why wouldn't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was amazing. And just even with
sorry, the 11 of the 11th was a big portal. This one that came through and it was all around change. So interesting.
Well, yeah. A lot of things definitely fell away. So like all the energy of our house and yeah, the caravan, like, and we'll be purging so much stuff before and essentially starting anew when we move up north. So yeah, change, that totally makes sense for everything that happened on that day for us, to allow things to fall away, obviously, for better things to fall into place.
That's so beautiful. That's so wonderful. That leads us probably into the next question too. Is that when you started to, you know, probably connect more in with you and connect more in with the spirit world, what things did you notice that shifted in your thoughts about the world and, you know, just the things around you? Did you have any change of viewpoints when you started to open more into?
Big time. I reckon I completely turned inside out, upside down, back to front, like in terms of my perception of the world. I started to understand my worth. So in terms of my corporate career, I'm professionally a forensic accountant.
Wow.
I started to understand what I was worth, and that how do I explain this? Just that instead of working for a big corporation, I was just like, I bring so much value to this corporation. I'm not just an employee, and my time is valuable, and I want to be compensated appropriately for my time away from my family, to work. And in terms of particularly the industry I work in, I was looking at what I was being, my rate that I was being charged out at and the rate that I was actually being paid. And there was such a huge difference. And I was just like, well, that's obviously what they think I'm worth, but they're not paying me what I'm worth. And that was just a massive realization to me that, you know, that I am worth more than what I think I am, but it was just what I was prepared to accept. So I ended up moving workplaces as well, and moving somewhere where I very abruptly and upfront, I was very upfront about my boundaries and what I was prepared to accept and my ethics and all that kind of thing. And that didn't gel well with my new work. So they wanted to keep me, but I said, nah, this isn't working. This isn't for me. And so I left there as well. And so now I do this work as a psychic medium full time. Another big thing was knowing my triggers and trauma was a huge thing. So understanding that when I'm triggered by something or by someone, that it's not, I was always thinking it was that person. I was always like, there's something wrong with that person. Why do they behave like that? Or why, do you know what I mean? Like that feeling of them setting you off. And you're always trying to place that on that person, saying there's something wrong with them. And then I had this realization, or I don't know where I read it or where I was informed about it, but holding up the mirror and realizing the issue is actually you. And that was massive for me. That was huge. And that was realizing that I was triggered. There's nothing wrong with that person. I was triggered by that person. And so that was a massive realization. So all the years of, but by allowing myself to kind of go down this healing journey and doing shadow work, looking at those really kind of yucky, icky parts of my life that feel like that, and knowing how to avoid being triggered and putting really firm boundaries in place so I avoid being triggered as well. Like I said, my life just got tipped upside down. I just see the world so differently now, so differently.
Yeah, I think that's a powerful viewpoint that you just made, you know, that seeing the reflection in others can be a massive shift when we're being, you know, pointing and blaming for a lot of the time, which we all have. I mean, this is one part of the awakening experience that most women, you know, come to, and can be quite daunting, you know, that we've been blaming our partners or whoever for all the areas that make us feel like shit. And then the day that you go, oh my God, that's my stuff, not their stuff. It, you know, you have to kind of, that can take a little while to sit with too and to work through, because, you know, there's layers of that.
Yeah, totally. And it's not, like you said, layers. So the first layer is obviously a shock. But then you've got to keep digging at it, or like you've got to keep pulling them back and just realizing, okay, I've blown off the handle about this. What was it in that that I what was my issue with that, as opposed to you know, sometimes it was so easy to just default to blaming someone else.
Yeah.
But yeah, that perspective shifts very, very quickly once you get through that first one. The first one's always going to be the hardest.
Absolutely. And it's, if you keep going, if you have the, you know, enough love for yourself to keep going, it's incredibly freeing out. I mean, it's hard work and there's pain. There's all kinds of, there's joy. There's all kinds of elements in there, but it's incredibly freeing out, isn't it? And it enables a lot more perspective on pretty much everything in your life to happen.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, self-love is a huge part of it. It's wanting to look inwards and become the best version of yourself, and not looking externally for that love. I think, and I see this so much in my readings, like a common question that I get so often is, when am I going to find love? When's that person going to be brought into my life? And it's quite often the crux of that issue, or the blockage that person might often be facing, is that they just have not found that love for themselves. And instead of looking everywhere else for that love, just really falling back in love with themselves and putting the time and effort back into themselves and raising their frequency to allow those people to gravitate towards them for being that authentic version of themselves is really powerful, as opposed to looking everywhere else for love.
Yeah, that's, I can imagine that must be a tricky space for you, being and doing what you do, because people are coming to you because they want answers. And, you know, it's like they want you to tell you, they want you to tell them what's next. And
same as like, you go to a doctor for a prescription, quick fix or the quick answer.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So it's almost like you're a counselor as well as a medium.
Yeah. So it is a tricky space to navigate. So, and we're open to so many timelines. So we're not necessarily hooked into this one life, and our future's not set. And so as a reader, it's really important. And I always caveat my readings at the start by saying, I'll tap into your past, present, and guidance for the future, because the future is malleable. If you ever were to go to a psychic and they were saying this, 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 and this will happen, you got to be really careful, because you might be disempowering somebody by setting their future in stone. And so, look, I'll have things come through that do feel like they're going to happen in the future. But I like to make sure that it's leaving someone empowered. It's leaving them wanting to keep striving for their dreams and their goals and that kind of thing. But we've got to be really careful not to disempower people, to say, you know, how horrible to hear that, you know, that someone in your life was going to pass in the next 6 months. Does that empower someone, or does that take their power away?
Yeah.
So it's, and ethically, it's a really fine line to toe. Mm. So I like to give guidance and to offer clarity on perhaps blockages people are facing, to help them align with their highest timeline, as opposed to saying, this is your future, you've got no control over it. You know, see you later. I don't think that's fair. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely, Joe. And it's really quite refreshing that you have this consciousness of awareness in the way that you're working with people, because people are vulnerable when they're looking for help and the guidance. And literally what you said before around the reflection in the mirror, it's the same thing when they're coming to you for guidance. Mm. What you're offering them is the opportunity to see in their own mirror and how to best work with that, with opportunities that are available to them, you know, what you're picking up psychically, but also, as Joe mentioned, you know, it almost, therapeutically as a counsellor, it's kind of a beautiful combination that you're offering people. Mm.
It's like a dance, really, and it's seeing people for where they are.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's really powerful, because not everyone can really tap into, or for example, a psychologist can hear what you're saying, but they can't necessarily, and look, I'm not a psychologist, so maybe some of them can, but they can't really tap into the emotion, like words are words, right? But I can tap into the feeling behind what you're saying. So it's not just like, you can tell me something, but I can also feel, yes, not whether it's real or fake, but I can feel the emotion behind it being a clairsentient. So feeling is a lot. So I can feel, someone said to me with a straight face, for example, that, you know, their mother passed, they hated their mother, all this kind of stuff. But I would also get the feeling behind that about why they would, why they're saying those things, like the feeling of feeling, oh, my words are really tricky today, that feeling of maybe being abandoned as a child comes through. Those, all these other feelings come through that sometimes words can't convey.
Yeah, yeah. So you're seeing the picture, really, like the whole, you know, that it's clairsentient, as you say, which the whole word clairsentient is feeling into the emotions, as you're explaining, but you're getting the whole picture behind what they're sharing with you. And you know, you could say all these things like reading between the lines, all kinds of things, but that the depth behind their experience of what those words mean to them, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and that's probably the perfect word to use, is the depth behind the words, like, because like I said, words are words, they're surface level, the feeling runs deep.
Yeah, so true. And I love, just on that deep, before we move on to the next question, like the fact that you're a forensic accountant, which is like, you know, in the depth of all this, you know, numbers and figures and the story that they tell, which, you know, is an incredible story in itself, what, you know, in that field.
That is wild, isn't
what
it?
What conveys, yeah. And then here you are, you know, now with the words and, you know, and in the ethers. Doing a very much the same thing, really, but it's
just a different environment.
That's so,
so yeah, like you said, the forensic accountant is forensic accounting side is digging really deep into numbers and very logic driven as well. But sometimes I must say I haven't really merged the two worlds together, but I would get feelings within that work as to whether to keep digging or whether I was not. And I'll be interested to go back into that workspace if and when I do in the years to come, to really kind of see how much stronger that is, because obviously I've been on and off maternity leave with pregnancies for the last 5 years. They've all been quite close together, so I haven't really been in, I haven't really thrown myself back into that work either. But yeah, it'll be very interesting once those two worlds start merging, combining a little bit more.
Yeah. No, it's going to be a great space. It'll be quite exciting to see what you do with that.
Yeah, I have a feeling you won't be going back into that.
No,
space.
It'll be very different. Yeah, you're just going to keep going forward, creating what you're creating now, which
is so powerful. Mm-hmm. So on that note, what kind of things have happened or are happening to you and for you since you've been more inclined to go a little deeper with things?
Oh, okay. Oh, so much. So much has happened. Well, this, when this was all happening, we just spontaneously, well, I guess our perspective has changed. When we feel spontaneous about something now, we just go for it. We don't hold back anymore. Whereas we would have thought about things, we would have sought answers from other people, would have asked other people's opinions, and we don't do, like my husband and I, when I say we, I mean my husband and I, we don't anymore. We just do what we want to do, and if it feels right, we go and do it. If it doesn't feel right, or there's blockages being put in place, like things aren't working out, like recently we went to put an order in on a new caravan and there was just so many roadblocks to get through, and we're like, something's not right here, this should feel better. And so we're like, something's not gelling here. And so we kind of put that to the side, and then something else fell into place very quickly. And the house actually sold in that time, which meant that we couldn't wait the 12 months for this caravan to be built anyway. We would have needed it. We needed it sooner. So things like that, we're much more flowy with things and don't try to control as much as what we probably would have in the past. And I think that's probably, and just listening to other people too much was massive. And my husband and I often say the best decisions we've made are ones we've made spontaneously and not spoken to anyone about and not taken anyone else's opinions into consideration. We've just done what's felt right for us. So last year we went, we spontaneously last year bought our very first caravan and went caravanning for 3 months. And we didn't think anything of it. We just thought we're going on a holiday. And that's how it all came about, us wanting to move up to Queensland because everyone's more laid back up there and the weather's better and all these things.
Yeah.
I guess it's just allowing. I guess it's just allowing things to fall into place. And with me moving further and further into this work and it taking up more of my time, you know, pushing the forensic accounting stuff back, which, you know, was obviously starting to fall away when I started to have those thoughts about my worth. Things just kind of kept happening with this psychic mediumship work. And just when I kind of think, or I question with the eclipse season, I was questioning everything. I was questioning who I was and what I was doing and all this kind of thing, which, you know, that's kind of the purpose of it. But I came out of that, you know, things just start falling into place again. And it's just, I don't know, it's a bizarre flow of questioning so much and then not questioning, just knowing that things are going to work out just how they need to work out, but then trying to push back the logic of your mind going, financially, how are you going to afford this? Financially, how are you going to survive? You know, finance is always at the back of our mind because we're so ingrained with society, with Western society about, you know, having to work to make money to provide for ourselves without understanding that we can attract abundance. And I suppose that was a big aha moment for me, was being able to attract abundance as opposed to climbing the corporate ladder to gain wealth, which was it feels yuck now, if I can say it that way.
Being in the grind, isn't it? Like not having to, you know, like we've talked a lot about work ethics and things like that, where you feel like, you know, to get where you want to go, you have to work harder and really, really hard and nonstop. And the balance.
Yeah.
And the other thing too is that I'm not sure whether you studied to do that or, but there's so many people that will spend most of their life studying to become something. And then they fall into, for you, this mediumship that's just so innately who you are. And, you know, it fills you up. It makes you feel amazing. You feel fulfilled about yourself and you're earning good money from it. And it's like an exchange now. And I think that's where we're moving to, where people are kind of settling into who they really are. And they realize that, oh, shit, all that studying that I've done or uni or whatever I've done, I never need it. But, you know, you do have to walk that path as well. But it's so beautiful listening to you very simplistically talk about, oh, yeah, we used to do it this way and now we just go with the flow and it just kind of rolls off you and it's just feels so beautiful to hear you say that, because there's so many people out there that are grinding to make ends meet and listening to the world and asking everybody questions of where they should need to go. And we have our own answers, you know, and I know it takes a bit to get there, but, you know, it's...
It feels like that you've kind of you've reached into trust and you're feeling a resonance with the experience of going with the flow, not trying to over control.
And I love that your husband's right there with you. I love that you just bring him in and it's like, you know, he's right there. You do it as a team. You know, there's a lot of people that we have on the podcast, you know, that actually they're on this journey, but they're also having to either maybe leave their partners or they've struggled through a part of the process because they feel so on separate paths. But I get the feeling that your hubby's just like right there with you.
Absolutely. He is just, I think that if I go back a step, talking about having to go to uni and everything, I feel like I had to go to uni because I didn't meet my husband at uni, but at the work, I had to move to the city to go to uni, and where I was working at that time is how I met him. So, you know, no coincidences. And I'm so lucky, and we just do life together, and he's so understanding of what I do, and he's not judgmental about it. And look, I think I've been able to provide a lot of peace for him, because particularly with my development, his mother comes through a lot when I'm working with other people in development. And our kids are incredibly in tune with her as well. Like they'll say some things that are far-fetched, like, you know, Nanny said we're allowed to do this. And it's like, no, Nanny didn't say that. But
love it.
But there are some there are some things that they come through with absolute clarity that there's no way they would know about her, and which is so beautiful. And we don't suppress that at all. We don't encourage it, we don't suppress it, we listen to what they have to say, and then like later we'll be like, that was phenomenal, like how could they ever have known that.
Wow.
Yeah, an example of that would be my daughter is having it's her first dance concert. She's only four, and the town that it's in is where my mother-in-law used to live years and years ago. So my four-year-old would have no idea that she would live there. And she said, I think it was yesterday, I didn't hear her say this, my husband, he told me the story that this happened. And he goes, you won't believe what Whitney said. And I said, what did she say? And he goes, she said that her dance concert is where Nanny used to live. And like, yeah, that's right. It's in the town where she used to live, and which is nowhere near where that was before even my husband.
Oh wow! I love that.
Yeah, just the you know, you just get a sense that they are hearing conversations all the time. They don't question what they're hearing when they repeat it or share it with you. That it's real. It's a given.
It's pure.
Yeah. It's gorgeous.
So yeah, and I would love to know how she's receiving the information, because I'm not, you know, because we can receive, there's so many different clairs, and some people see it, or they just have a knowing, or they feel it. So I'd love to really untap how she's doing it, but I'm really hesitant to kind of inquire, because I don't want to shut it down and her to be like, why is mom asking so many questions about this? Do you know what I mean?
Am I wrong? Is it bad? Is it good? Is it this? Is it that? Their little minds, yeah.
I'm just on this note, because as you said, you did the course that started you on this path during COVID, and you've been having this awareness around through your pregnancies and your babies that, you know, your intuition is heightened and you're more open yourself. Do you feel like being now in this work full time as a psychic that it kind of influences your environment in a way that enables this to be more a part of your family dynamic, like say the relationship you have with your husband and the children and your awareness of what the children are expressing and sharing? And
yeah, this wouldn't have happened, this openness and accept, like, and it's such an accepting kind of perspective as well. It would never have happened if I didn't have that awakening. Like, I just imagine what our lives would be like, and they would be so incredibly different had, and I guess out of the two of us, out of my husband and myself, I was always the most anxious one. I was always trying to control things. And if I couldn't control things, I could have a meltdown about it. And just being able to take that complete, I'm not even going to say edge. It's been taken away almost in its entirety, because I'm just so aware of where my boundaries are, what triggers me, and that, you know, things are happening for me, not to me, has just created a completely different life for us. And we just see the world so differently. And just going back to what we were saying before about, you know, the grind, one of the biggest realizations for me was that just doesn't make sense now to me. It was when we were caravanning last year, we were going to like these gorges, and you know, we had three kids at that time. Well, we've still got three kids now. There'll be one more next time we go caravanning. But and we were doing these big treks down gorges, and we would see people saying, oh, good luck, you know, that that'd be really hard with three kids to go do these walks. But on the flip side of that, we were like, well, we didn't find it hard, but we saw people that were stuck at the top at the lookout that couldn't go down and look because then, you know, they were older in age, their knees had gone, or their hips couldn't handle it. And like, they've worked all their lives to go traveling when they're retired, at a point where you've given your body, like the body that you were given, you've given everything it's able to give to your workplace. Particularly, I think about builders and laborers and people that do manual labor. They give absolutely all of themselves to their workplace, and then at the end of it, they're told, oh, you can retire. And what have they got left to retire with or to enjoy the world with? Like, I know that's not everyone's situation in terms of their body, you know, not being in that state, but we just think it's so backwards. Why wouldn't we want to go do that travel now while we're healthy and able? And I think there's so many cultures out there that do have so much respect for their elderly that they do take care of them at home, and don't just put them into a nursing home when their bodies start shutting down and that kind of thing. There's just so much respect and wisdom. And look, I could keep going down this rabbit hole, but I often look at the Aboriginal culture with respecting the elders and their wisdom and all of that kind of thing, because I do feel like our intuition gets stronger as time goes on as well. I feel like there's a massive disconnect with
respect for that space that these people, elders have in society and what they have to share. Like your mother-in-law, what she's still continuing to share with you. It's
I love your viewpoint though on, you know, that whole work our whole lives.
Mm.
We're basically giving ourselves away for what? It's like, you know, I totally hear what you're saying. It's so upside down and back to front. If only we could really tap into what we're here to do. And, you know, I think people also have a vision that, because I've done a lot of traveling too, I'm off-grid, much like yourself, and I love it. I thrive on it now, because it's not only you get to see our country, but it's a spiritual experience, you know, and it's like, it's so amazing and so many people should be doing it. And it doesn't cost a lot of money to do it. You know, it's like all these people, like you said, that come to retirement age and their bodies can't make it. And it's like, oh, you've given so much. You know, if only you had this opportunity to do that.
Yeah, and I think particularly traveling and being on the road, you're not on an aeroplane with heaps of other bodies and energy and going to busy areas. Like, particularly if you're on the road traveling, you get so much clarity. So my husband and I, particularly my husband, he gets so much clarity when we would just go out with just us and the kids in the caravan and just go find a spot on like the Murray River or something. Mm-hmm. And he would just have massive, like mind-blowing kind of, not epiphanies, but just moments of clarity about what he wants to do and where he wants to go and that kind of thing. And it's been really beautiful to watch his journey as well, because I don't think he's aware of what happens for him when we go away as what I am, because I'm observing. Yeah. And it's turning down the noise of the world. So particularly if you're caravanning through Australia, there's so many places where you can't get access to the radio. So you're kind of left with your own thoughts for a long time. And it's a really beautiful way to connect in with yourself. And when we were traveling, the only news I heard, we had an inkling of the Queen passing away, but that was the only news that we heard while we were traveling.
That's a strong voice, just that one. It was going out loud.
But yeah, it's so hard unless you kind of force yourself or you've gone and done caravanning in that kind of way before, or disconnecting by turning off the noise, the news, all those people that have opinions. It is so powerful, because then that's when the clarity sets in, because you're not, your mind becomes quiet and you have, you're left with yourself.
So beautiful. So space. Beautiful.
Yeah.
It's internal space. We get some internal space. It's beautiful.
Well, yeah. And when we were kids, mum and dad, we didn't have a lot financially, that sort of thing, but we would go for a drive on the weekend, and sometimes we would end up staying overnight and just, you know, sleeping in rough, or, you know, a basic sort of accommodation or whatever, or just it would be a one day adventure. And you got to see places that were outside of your everyday. And we felt like we'd always been away for a long time, or had an adventure, or got to experience something very different. And it's just a simple experience, but it's so enriching, in every way. Yeah. And for your children to experience that, you're giving them a great foundation as well, and being explorers and being outside of their everyday routines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that connection to, the Aboriginal culture calls it connection to country. It's really about grounding themselves and knowing that, you know, the earth will provide, or the universe will provide for them what they need when they need it. And I'm just hopeful that it it helps build a foundation of being just really grounded and knowing where they belong in this world, in terms of, you know, everyone's the same, we walk the same earth, we breathe the same air. Money's just a complication that somebody else threw in.
Yeah. Yes.
That's a whole other podcast, as we say, about some little sentence. But so that leads us into our next question, which is, what have you decided to change, if anything?
Oh, our whole lives.
Thought you might say that.
Yeah, you can see what I mean when I say it. We're scrolling to each other, because it's like, you know, yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
what we value in life is so different now. So the house that I'm doing this recording for you in now was, we bought the block of land, and everything was like pre-awakening, and we built our dream home and we threw everything into it. And look, it is a really beautiful home. I love it, and there's so much that went into it. But at the end of the day, we know that happiness isn't in the walls of the house. It's not in these walls that separate us from being outside. And it's that, you know, we can be in a tiny space like a caravan and have such amazing, beautiful memories, also sometimes wanting to kill each other. That's not all butterflies and rainbows, but it just makes you realize that you don't need a big extravagant house and a pool and a big backyard and all of those things. They're nice to have, but we were just as happy in a little caravan traveling. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So that perspective has completely changed for us. Look, if we could pick up our house and take it with us to Queensland, we would, but we just know that the happiness doesn't lie in material things.
Yeah.
And that can be really hard, because that's kind of like what society makes us think that success and all this kind of stuff looks like. And it's do you want success or do you want happiness? Because they don't necessarily go hand in hand.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's powerful. And if you ever write a book, it has to be called Happiness Doesn't Lie in the Walls of This House. I love that.
Yeah.
That's really powerful what you just said. So true. And I think there's a lot of people that are waking up to that too, especially after COVID. I mean, that was a bit of a shake up for people too. But what a beautiful,
with so many learnings to awaken up to, and it's just so beautiful how you know, hearing your experience of what aligned for you in that space was coming into being centralized, but also expanded and you know, moving into a different dimension. I love that it was called the 5D, the course, like taking you into that space of another timeline and awareness of so much more.
Yeah, but even all the awareness of, especially having a young family and even being pregnant right now, I think it's so brave of you to, you know, want to pack up your world and be not, I don't want to say stuck, but not being in the one place, you know, you're free to move, and hence the caravanning, and then hence to pack up and move to a whole other state with three young kids and one on the way. It's like, I love that you're just so whimsical in all of that. You know, it's so where I think we're moving to. It's not being grounded in one spot. It's being free to be able to move wherever we need to be able to move to. And I think that's an internal thing and an external thing as well.
Yeah, and I think it's a bit of a balance or a bit of a dance between being in flow and allowing things to happen, but you also need to be doing the work as well. You know, selling our house and getting ready for sale and moving in state, it's work. Like we have to do, like there's manual labor and all that kind of thing involved. You can't just kind of sit back and expect the universe to plop everything in your lap and for it to all be done for you. You need to be prepared to meet the universe or follow the cues about what you need to do as well. So it's not that it's all come, I wouldn't say it's all come easily. I think the decision making has become easy, but it's the back end of it. Like our human has to do some work too.
Yeah.
So it's still a process and the steps through the journey to get to the destination.
But
it's fun. It's fun on the way. It's like, you know, fun to go, okay, this is happening for me. This truck's not turning up today. It's happening for me. Like continually being able to just be, okay, there's a reason for this happening. I think that's the beauty of that too, being open and not being so rigid in the way things are turning out.
Yeah, and like I said, when we kept getting those blockages, like with this new caravan we wanted to get, we're like, why is this happening? Why are we constantly being blocked by this? Because at that, like I said, at that point in time, our house hadn't sold yet, so we thought we had plenty of time to for this caravan to be built. But then the house sold on the 11th, and we were like, well, we can't wait 12 months for the van. We're going to be out of here in three. So. it's just funny how it works out. So it's almost like you've got to take a step back and say, I'm keep pushing in this direction and it keeps pushing me back. Why is that happening? And it might not necessarily be, no, this isn't for you. It's just not the right way for you to go about it, or it's not for you right now. So
beautiful.
The universe has a very funny way of putting the right things in our path at the right time.
And it's like you're coming back to what you said about words, like, you know, a word has a meaning and we have a relationship with the word, but there's so much more depth behind that word. And it's, you know, the same as when you have a goal or a dream, you know, or, you know, a destination that you're working to get to. What you just shared around the universe has a funny way or interesting way of helping us get there. It's like being prepared for there to be more depth and more experience around that dream or that goal than we can possibly imagine.
That's right. It's not linear. The universe can make things happen in a way that you won't even understand. So if I can explain an example of that. So when I was a teenager, I used to watch CSI, and on one episode of CSI there was a forensic accountant on it, and I was like, I want to be a forensic accountant. And whilst my mindset didn't really marry up with this, even though I must have been in operating at a higher frequency when I had that thought, because I was in pubs and things like that, thinking that that dream of being a forensic accountant was unattainable, I just thought, nah, only really smart people can do that. That's not me. And, you know, already putting a glass ceiling on myself at that time. And I ended up not even having to apply to be a forensic accountant. I ended up working from doing hospitality work. I moved into doing accounts payable, and then from there I moved into I did accounts payable at this one particular business, not even knowing when I started there that they had a forensic accounting division. And so I went from accounts payable to assistant accountant, and then I had a change of boss and I didn't gel with the new boss, and so I was actually looking to move out of the company. I was like, nah, not dealing with this. And the manager of the forensic accounting division approached me, not knowing that I was actually thinking of leaving the company at that time, and said, come to my department, I want you to do a secondment for 3 months. He goes, if you like it, you can stay in the team. If not, you can just go back to the finance team, what you were doing. And I was like, oh, you know, answer, not only is it my dream job, like you're getting me away from this manager that I'm not really coping with, and you're solving my problem of looking for another job. And so it's incredible that that literally fell into my lap.
Absolutely. So the frequency, you had already put the frequency out there, was just vibrating out in the universe, waiting for you and other people to connect up with it.
Yeah. And so that probably all happened within, from when I was 15, and I got that job when I was about 25, 26. So within 10 years of putting it out there to being literally put that ending in my lap, which I said before as well. But yeah, how that manifested over time, and I didn't have to apply for the job. I didn't have to reach out for it. It was just phenomenal.
Waiting for you.
Yeah. On with life. So what have you, in that note of like, you know, look, you know, moving away from your boss, but then the universe bringing you into an alignment, what have you had to give up, people or things or, you know, in this space of moving into being Joe the medium and your awakening?
If there is anything you had to give up.
I wouldn't say I've had to give up anything. I've probably just put really firm boundaries in place, and I've learned to stick up for myself and to stop being a people pleaser. That's probably the biggest things. Like in the past, I would have gone over and above to make other people happy, even at the risk of it heightening anxiety and concerning me and all of that kind of thing. I've just got really firm boundaries.
Well, that's interesting, because like some, you know, often people have had to, again, like give up, go to quite extreme.
Some people don't like it.
Yeah. And then having firm boundaries, people don't often like that. So it automatically kind of shifts people away or experiences away.
Because they can no longer control you.
Exactly. They're used to being able to walk all over you, and for them to say jump, and you say how high, and the moment you go, no, I'm not prepared to do that anymore, or I'm not prepared to accept your version of reality as my own, or I just don't see things the same as you, they don't like it. Like, there's so many people that don't like it. And then I guess I've come to the realization that, you know, that's a point where they've got to hold the mirror up to themselves about what they don't like about me. Protecting myself on my own energy. It's really powerful. It's a really powerful thing to be able to put boundaries in place, particularly with people that have pushed and pushed and pushed you for so long, because they get the reality check too. They're like, oh, I've pushed this person that far that they've finally gone, I'm not prepared to accept anymore. And I guess with some of the situations where I had to put boundaries in place, it was more of a shock, because it wasn't just a, I'm not accepting this anymore. It's like, I'm pushing the boundary right back to where it should be.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you have to make a stand, don't you? Once you understand and know why.
And that's incredibly, it can be very interesting how quickly things can change the minute you hold that power within yourself and hold that integrity, you know, self-responsibility, self-empowerment, and come back to the self-love of going, no, I'm not comfortable sitting in that space. It's not my space. It's your space. I want to stay here. And then just kind of allow that observer, as you mentioned before, to see things shift around you.
And I'm not responsible for somebody else's happiness. Like, for so long, I would go over and above to try and make people happy. And at the end of the day, it was at the sacrifice of my own. And some people call that incredibly selfish. for how I might behave now, but I'm totally owning it, because at the end of the day, you are in charge of your own happiness, and I'm not responsible for I'm not responsible for making other people happier in their own lives. I'm quite happy to empower and inspire and authentically as possible, and I hope that inspires other people as well. But I can't come and fix your problems. You've got to want to do that yourself, and be an advocate for yourself and your own happiness.
Oh, I love that. Be an advocate for yourself and your own happiness, because that does not make you a bad person. It does not mean that you're not a kind person. It does not mean that you're not a good person. And this is a big shift, I think, that is important to happen in society around awareness of that. Because somebody stands in their power, it doesn't mean that they're a bad person or not a good person.
And you can certainly be gracious about it. You don't have to be nasty or mean or anything. Like, there are ways to go about setting boundaries and being as gracious as possible. However, some people do make that difficult, and you do need to be quite abrupt and blunt if they're not getting the message. But like you said, I don't think it makes you an unkind person, because like I feel like this, some people can make you feel really guilty and shameful, but that is theirs to carry. That's not for you to carry if that makes them feel that, makes them have certain feelings about something or about a boundary. It's just knowing what's yours and what's somebody else's.
Yeah.
And guilt and shame is usually someone else making you feel those things. So.
Yeah, so true. It's self-responsibility, I think, in a loving way, in a loving way.
Mm.
We're going to move on to the next question. So, Jo, what do you do now to support yourself for staying in the moment?
Oh, staying in the moment.
I know it must be hard with four young kids or three young kids and being pregnant.
That's literally, I'm waiting to hear what you say.
It's trying to, like you said, it's just trying to be as present as possible and not trying to, it's not trying to control everything. And so I guess I like being out in the garden. It's about really grounding yourself and making sure that I'm making time for myself. So whether that's journaling, having like a hot cacao, just little things throughout the day that aren't that time consuming. Like a lot of people, you know, you can recommend that they go ground themselves and they're like, oh, it's a big deal. I have to like go out and make a point of going grounding myself. You don't. Just take 5 minutes away from your computer if you're working and just go walk outside or just get your feet in the grass. Like it's almost like it's made out to be like this really hard task when it's not. My husband has actually been saying to me every day for the past week, like when I wake up after him, he goes, I went and walked out in the grass in my bare feet this morning. Took some deep breaths. Yes, so I'm glad that that's kind of rubbing off on him as well, that is actually really powerful, and he tells me how he feels so good after doing that. And it's so simple. The things that really help us stay in flow and ground ourselves, and it's the stuff that takes you out of the muggle world. Like it's stuff that reconnects you with nature and reconnects you with yourself. It's kind of just quietening out everything else. Like it's so easy to be caught up on phones. Like I've been guilty of it too, being caught up on my phone, and phones and iPads, they're all they're designed to addict you to them. And it's almost cruel, really. But I can see how some people would find it so hard to get that, I guess, dopamine hit or whatever hormone that kind of gets released as well when you're out in nature. Because you're getting it from your phone, and your phone's so much more accessible, but it's not as powerful. It's pulling you back into, like, if I can say, the Matrix, in fear of sounding controversial, because it's mimicking the same feeling. And if you feel like you can get a hit quicker by picking up your phone, like that seems more convenient than going outside. But going outside and really embracing the world around us is so much more powerful.
Yeah, no, I'm hearing you. The phone, all of that is just a distraction, And usually the distraction will lead us down into like a negative energy, not a positive energy. So it's a little tricky. It's, you know, I think we just really need to use our discernment and, like you said, try and get outside as often as you can. I think, you know, the natural beauty and the energy that we get from even just looking up at the sky some days, I just get so much energy from thinking, wow, I'm so small here. There's so much out there, you know, it's like, wow.
Yeah, or as simple as if you are looking at the sky, just like looking at the clouds and seeing what you see in the clouds.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't mean that you have to go outside and be completely silent. You can interact with nature. Like, it's great if you can be quiet in your mind, but if you have a really busy mind, it's like, all right, I'm just going to go outside, I'm going to look at the clouds, and I'm going to notice three things in the clouds, and then I'm going to go back inside. It's starting, I think that. Biggest thing, particularly with like maybe you just start small. You wouldn't start up at the gym and do an hour workout your first time back at the gym. Just start small.
Yeah. And I think start small, and I think entwining that a little bit with that distraction that is our phones. If you do an experiment one day, I was just thinking when we were talking around that, of being an observer and looking at your feed and seeing what comes through. Is it all about shopping? Is it all about fitness? Is it all, you know, what is the structure of your feed? Because that's your algorithm. You've created that. So it's kind of like a kind of an interesting little experiment to just go, okay, what world am I creating around myself by what I'm looking at? And then maybe go, yeah, it's all looking okay. It's helping me. It's lifting me up, serving me. It's informing me. Or actually, it's kind of putting me in a box.
Yeah, and it's that digital hygiene, I guess, as well, like making sure that you are following pages that uplift and inspire you. Not everyone will agree with me with this, but particularly with what's going on in Israel at the moment, I have to step away from that. It's horrific and it's horrible. But in terms of what I can offer that situation, I can send like positivity and healing to that part of the world with my headspace. But if I keep getting dragged into a lower frequency, which is fear and death and these horrific circumstances, I can't be of service in that space. And so I had to make sure I stepped away from all of that kind of thing. And if you're exposed to that too much, you do notice your not mental health, but you just notice this negative spiral that you can, and you can get too consumed by it, and it is distressing and it is upsetting, but you can't help a situation from being from those lower frequencies. We need to try and keep heightened, and I guess that's kind of part of this the sad part of the world that's being created, is to try and keep people in those lower frequencies of shame, fear, guilt, as opposed to trying to elevate us and, you know, bring so much love into this world, being one of the higher frequencies. And up, things like that. I understand that there's a place for knowing about where bushfires are and things like that, but with so much distress in the world, we just need to have our own protection mechanisms to make sure we're not spiraling out of control with those frequencies that can be put in our place, in our face, I should say. And it's like, yeah, with social media, make sure you're following accounts that uplift and inspire you. If you've got emails that are coming through and you've got heaps of junk email that keep cluttering up your inbox, it's really empowering to go through and unsubscribe to stuff that's no longer serving you, which, you know, it takes time. You've got to kind of set time up, but it's all clutter, it's all noise, and the more you can quieten down the noise, and that's where, like I said, if you can get in the caravan and go off grid, that's the best way to do it. It's having that what can I say, spiritual hygiene as well.
It's funny because just what you're talking about, what you were just talking about, is our last question, which was, how do you see the world now through your eyes?
Oh, yes, just so differently. Just everything I've been taught to believe is not what I believe now. So being raised Catholic, and my husband, I was saying just yesterday, because we had to drive a little while away to another town, and we were observing all the towns we went to, the position of the churches in the town, and how the churches are always at the top or near the top of the town to kind of, and we're like, why is that? And we're just discussing it and whether this is true or not. But what we came up was, you know, it was to kind of, you know, keep an eye on everyone in the town. So you were always kind of aware that the church was there, the church is watching, and that, you know, things like confession and trying to keep people honest. And like I said, I was raised Catholic, and I just find it so foreign now, or so deceiving, as opposed to it's fear-based and just not trusting people to do the right thing, or empowering people to do the right thing and to love each other and all this kind of thing. It's almost like it's a surveillance system. And yeah, so yeah, being raised Catholic, I wouldn't identify as Catholic anymore. Like, two of my children are baptized, and the second two won't be. I might do my own cleansing in the beach or something, but they won't technically be baptized in a Catholic church. What else? Just going back to, I guess it's summarizing everything we've spoken about. I don't see the value in giving my power away to doctors and things like that. Like, I will go to the doctors and I will call the ambulance, like, if there's an emergency. Like, it's not saying I hate the Western medical system. It's just, I think it has its place, but I feel like we give so much of our power to it instead of coming back to ourselves and trusting ourselves. Particularly with pregnancy, which is meant to be, I just don't understand with pregnancy, which is bringing a beautiful new life, why you would go to a place where people are sick and passing away to have a baby. I'm not sure why that energy should be in the same space.
I should create a birth.
And just in terms of,
they should create a beautiful birthing. I don't know. Someone probably will, actually. Now this is all coming out. Well, they used to have maternity hospitals.
I know that
maternity hospitals used to be a separate thing. You know, like, we used to have a beautiful one just over the border in Willembar with, years of beautiful birthing experiences because of the doctors and the midwives that used to work in that space. But they've been not financially viable.
Yeah, so birthing centres have certainly, declined. I know there used to be a lot more, but, birthing centres, I don't even think there is one in Victoria that I've come across. But there's plenty of, like, what they call, I'm not sure if you would call them the same up there, but birth keepers, so people that would come to your home. That perspective has changed my perspective of working my butt off until I'm 60 to retire to then live my life. I don't agree with that. Just so much has changed in my perspective and what I want to pass on to my children. And that, success, I guess it's just success isn't happiness. Like, they're just, what does success look like to you? Does success,
so yeah, we get a sense that your idea of the world is about deconstructing.
For me,
no, keep going, Jay. Keep going, darling.
No, you're right. It's absolutely about constructing the world that we've been led to believe, and it's going, what feels right about this?
Yeah.
And where do I feel pulled, as opposed to accepting things just based on what you're told or based on what you're fed.
Yeah, look, yeah. The Wi-Fi, it's perfect timing because the Wi-Fi, I'm not sure whether it's your end or my end or our end, that you're cutting in and out, but we're getting the juicy bits, which is wonderful. But we will round it off. It is time, and we've loved every minute of being with you this morning. Now, you did mention earlier, Joe, that you're rounding off your mediumship just for now while you have the baby. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yep. So I'll be doing readings up until mid December, and then once baby comes along, I'll feel into when it feels like the right time, and I'm not sleep deprived and all those kinds of things to return. So I don't think I can put a return date on it just yet.
You're giving yourself freedom around that space.
Yeah. Of course. But we'll put all of our links.
Your card that came through for you today was See Only Love.
I love that.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Look past the seeming errors, mistakes, and misunderstandings and see only the love within each person, including yourself. Your resolute focus upon the love that underlies every situation brings about healing in undreamed of ways.
Oh,
that was just.
Yes, I love that as a summary of this discussion.
Yeah, yeah, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. We will put all of your links at the bottom of the podcast. Joe, thank you so much for joining us on Girl Awakening today. It's been our honor.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Such a joy, and good luck with the move, and beautiful baby on about to join us all.
Thank you.
Bye. She comes in my dream.
Thank you for listening to our Girl Awakening podcast. We are also on YouTube as Girl Awakening. We'd love to see you there with comments on how our guest resonated with you or your own awakening. Please share the love with a like and subscribe while you're there. A blissful thank you to Ksenia Luki, the amazing artist behind our theme song. We will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.